shut up.
Just shut up. It's over.
The Linux Link Tech Show. The Linux Link Tech Show is on. Your link to the latest in GNU Linux and technology. An hour of insightful guests, tech info, and playful banter. Free software, free speech, open source, open mics. Live from the Linux Link Tech Show studio, here are your hosts, Dan, Alan, Pat, and Link. Link it up and take it away. Take it away.
No Windows Crash Radio today?
No, next week. It's a bi-weekly thing now. Tell him what he wants, what he really, really wants, what I want, what Alan really, really wants.
Don't sing, Dan.
What?
Dan, your
I wanna ziggy ziggy ha.
Dan, your selection of music is pretty bad.
Isn't it?
What was that?
Oh, it's better than me. I was doing Love Boat earlier. I don't know why.
That's true.
We're watching something where they were.
Yeah, in fact, that was the very first thing that I heard when I got on the.
I don't know why. It just sort of like came into my mind.
Alan singing Love Boat.
That's frightening.
Got this dance that's more than real. Drink Brass Monkey. Here's how you feel.
Brass Monkey.
That funky monkey.
But we were actually talking Chunky about. You got to fight for your right to party.
Well, I'm sorry. I have to look those up.
Yes.
Hey, I got the lyrics to Auld Lang Syne, man. Leave me alone.
So last week, Windows Crash Radio, a lot of feedback there.
You got feedback? I didn't see any of it.
Oh, there was some stuff on Hacker.
Yeah.
Media.org that
you wake up late for school,
John
man.
Watson,
you don't want to go.
Really loved it.
Oh, that one. Yeah.
He saw that one. Wake up late for school and you don't want to go.
You ask your mom, please,
and
but
she still says
no.
No.
You miss two classes.
And no homework.
But your teacher preaches class.
Please like he's some kind of jerk.
All please right. Stop.
Your mom stole your best point on Mac.
You're hurting me here.
Your mom's busting in, says, what's that noise?
I
you don't know?
No, I went away from the page here. Your pop caught you smoking, and he said, no way. That hypocrite smokes two packs a day.
Are you doing the Shakespeare rendition?
I'm going to try to do it the Shatner way, actually.
I thought maybe you were doing Masterpiece Theater.
Man, living at home is such a drag.
You know what? Speaking of
now your mom threw away all your best porno
sir?
Bags.
Shatner?
I came across, speaking of Shatner, I came across an LP the other day with Mr. Spock on it, and he's, like, singing to different
stuff.
Oh, did
you download it?
It's hysterical, man.
Did you download it? He's got, like, seven albums out.
How about the one with Lucy
Leonard
the Skywalker?
Leonard Nimoy.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Shatner, Lucy the Skywalker.
And he does nude photography now.
That's frightening. I like Star Trek, but I don't like it that much.
Give me a second, I'll tell you what the name of the album is.
Oh, listen to him lying. He's got the nude pictures right there in front of him. Killing the show.
It's in 1967, Leonard Nimoy's Mr. Spock's Music from Outer Space.
Yes.
That has got to be some of the funkiest weird crap I've ever listened to in my life.
I've got to get a copy of that from you. That's hilarious.
Not a problem. That's some funny
and supposedly
stuff.
They were never on drugs when they did
stuff
that.
All the way through. I wouldn't bet. I wouldn't bet on that.
He's on, what show is he on now? Boston Legal, some shit like that?
That's Shatner, yeah.
Shatner or Nimoy?
Shatner.
Wait, are you talking about Shatner or Leonard Nimoy?
Link's talking about Leonard Nimoy.
Okay.
They're the same person, aren't they?
Yeah, that'll win. We'll get a lot of hate mail for that one.
I love Star Trek.
I want to get the first Shatner album.
I love Trek, man.
I've got it downloaded, but it's like so
Star
crappy.
Leonard Nimoy wrote a bunch of books, too. He wrote, like, I am Spock, I am not Spock.
Yeah, I have the I am not Spock.
And Shatner wrote Tech Wars, right?
Tech Wars, yeah.
I have his latest album. I thought it was pretty funny myself. Especially because he doesn't sing at all. He just talks through the whole damn thing.
Mr. Tambourine Man?
Yeah, that's a hilarious song. I have that floating around somewhere, but my copy is so crappy that I can't even get it. Like, you know, it doesn't even sound decent when you download it and burn it. It doesn't even sound decent.
Probably get it off the internet somewhere.
I've looked around. I've had problems getting all the pieces.
So what's going on tonight, fellas?
You've had problems getting pieces off the internet, Alan?
Pieces?
If you want, I can pull a meat spin for you, Alan. There you can get your piece right there.
That didn't bother me. It only bothered Pat here.
It's horrible.
They took the Santa Claus hat off of it.
Pat was talking about that holidays. Pat was talking about that all the way home.
Horrible, man.
He's like, I can't wait to get home because I'm going to meat spin.
Not me. Woo!
You spin me right round, baby, right round.
How many times do you watch it, Dan?
I've seen it three other times. Showed my wife, and I showed two guys at.
Who are you kidding, Dan? You have it up as a screensaver, man.
He just has the sound muted over on that computer right now.
I am in the process of converting that over to a not only just Theora, but every video format I can, so I can play it no matter what. And have it prosperity. As soon as I get my GP2X, it's going right on there, and I'm just going to plug my earphones in and put it right in front of my face.
The screensaver we used to have of Link, you should turn that in there so, like, you know, the more processes you have running, the faster it goes.
Yeah. The hot Link.
Yeah. We can turn it into hot meat.
Speaking of the GP2X, mine has not arrived yet. I'm not that concerned. I have sent them an email. I sent them an email 2 days ago. It was still over the holiday break, so I'm thinking things are going to start picking up. I've been on some forums about the GP2X. I've heard that the company is a little backed up, I think, or they're with the holidays, with the ordering and everything. And after being on the forums and reading both the pros and cons of the GP2X, what people are saying, I'm still psyched to get this thing. I am really looking
forward to see what it looks like, man.
So would I. I've looked at pictures. I've looked at video. There's a ton of, you know, applications out there.
I bet you'd like to see what it looks like, Dan. You already paid for it.
Yeah, I know. I'm really interested in the, you know, the emulator scene, stuff like that, what I can get. Of course, doing it legally. There was a twat that was done about emulators this past week.
Yes, I heard that one.
And I have not listened to it yet. I'm psyched because it sucks because I don't have this device in my hands. I got my my SD flash card.
I saw that over here.
Over there. It's still in the package. I'm waiting for that damn thing to show up so I can start dumping stuff on here. I've heard mixed reviews about the TV out cable. Some people say it works great. Some people say it's a piece of crap. And it doesn't work right. Now I'm excited to get it.
What video codecs can you play on that?
From what I hear, you could play MPEG-4.
Any DivX or XVID?
XVID. I think DivX. I'm not sure about QuickTime. Windows Media is still in development. So, and AVI, I
That's
think.
It's pretty good.
One. Yeah. So I think Theora is coming. Windows Media is coming. They something about... can't remember which codec they said it was just too expensive for them to justify.
H.264?
No. I think they do have H.264 because there is a legal H.264 codec that they could use.
Now, what kind of video outs does it have? Is it composite or just is it an S video?
That's a good question because what it appears to be is RCA, but I've heard some people say there's an S video to it. So I don't know. I won't know until I get it. And start
well, you know, RCA is composite video, and where the hell was I going with this?
Good question, Alan.
S video is just a subset of a composite video signal, so Alan, you probably can get both.
You're
of them.
Watching videos, right? On what is it? Your
the PlayStation Portable.
What does that have? Does it have a video out or no?
No, it doesn't have video out. But it's got a pretty decent sized screen for a portable device.
What codecs can you play on that?
What cards do I put
codex.
In?
Codex.
Codex of... Oh, Christ.
It's DivX.
It is a DivX one, but I can't remember.
MPEG-4.
Yeah, it's.
You want yeah, it's this? MP4, this is this yeah. is my definition of a dick: a guy who has a nice piece of technology that's portable and doesn't bring the damn thing over for the rest of us to check out. Who would that be? Oh,
don't look at me, man! I did a fucking presentation at the lug.
Why haven't you? You know, I thought you've until this moment, it was not confirmed to me that you had a PlayStation Portable. But I
I've mentioned
passing,
it like 8 or 9 times here on the show.
I thought, and I've said to myself, you know, why hasn't he brought it over? If
well,
he's
I'm
had
sorry, I'll bring it over
because I would really it. Like to see it.
Yeah, I'll bring what it. I'll bring it over next week.
Well, PlayStation
one time when
Portable
I went
has
over
to
pick
MP4,
him up.
Right?
He was like, showed it to me real fast, and then kind of tucked it away and hid it from me. You know.
No, I didn't.
See, that'd be interesting. Now, are you doing
And I use Myth to convert it over so I get my TV programs off of that.
What do you encode it to?
Dempeg Force.
Dempeg Force?
Yeah.
Now, are you into the homebrew scene with that? Are you?
No, I don't bother with that. Because, one, they change it too often.
Right.
I mean, and the problem is, you know, Sony's being such a dick about the format of everything that... You can get one. You can get it running really good, and then go out and buy a new game, and they'll upgrade, you know, the operating system on you before they start the game, and it screws up all your homebrew stuff.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
To me, I'm not really, and I really don't want it to play old NES games. I'm not really, you know, interested in that. It plays video, which is what I want. It has a browser built into it, which, you know, shy of you know, using up and down buttons to get your address is typed in there. It's not that hard to use on it. The only thing it'd be perfect, the device would be perfect if they would make a small keyboard for it, like part of a case so you could open it like a clamshell type thing on it, and some sort of like note-taking software. And maybe like a mail program. And it would be the perfect device.
Then it would be called the DS.
Snap!
It could be. But to me, that would be perfect, and I would pay them, you know, $100 to get that you know sort of operability out of it.
Now, that's kind of like, I mean, you have that, but it's kind of like the opposite philosophy of the GP2X. And whereas the Sony PlayStation Portable has network capabilities,
yeah,
the GP2X unfortunately doesn't, but it's more open.
And yeah, that's the difference.
That's one of the downsides I've heard about this. People that complain is there's not enough commercial games for this or commercial stuff because it's completely open.
Yeah, that's going to make it tough to gain any traction in the marketplace besides geeks,
right?
Who don't mind you know, programming
because the GP32.
Yes, the geeks are a powerful force.
Oh yes, we are. I have no doubt about that.
Not to say that that's not coming, but then on the flip side, the PlayStation Portable, PSP. Even though it does have games, I think one of the complaints I've heard repeatedly is that there seems to be more videos out there.
There
than
are
games,
tons more videos.
And the games aren't that inspiring, and the
Here's
DS kicks its ass on games.
As far as the video goes, is it really different between like the little DVDs that they put out or as opposed to the stuff that you record?
Like, I haven't noticed. I mean, like, I have the Spider-Man video because that came with it. Now I refuse to go out and buy videos for the thing because I'm not going to spend $29 on a movie I already have and I'm going to watch 3 or 4 times.
Right.
You know, for me, the video portion of it is not the most important part of it. It's convenience for me because I take it to work because my internet sucks at work, so it gives you something to do during lunchtime. You know, like I'll download some of the Adult Swim cartoons and stuff and, you know, things I record at night. Next evening usually, I'm a day behind because, unfortunately, copying to it is not, like, you know, as convenient as, like, an iPod or something like that. But by the same token, I get a week's worth of battery time versus 2 hours. So I'm not really concerned too much about that. But, you know, I'll copy the stuff in there the next morning. I'll, you know, take it to work. And you know, I get, like, an hour and a half of video on 512 megs. Card, so it's not that bad. Yeah, anything longer, I don't have that much of a lunchtime to begin with, so I got to break it up in a, you know, half hour, 45 minute chunks, anyways. But the video isn't that bad on it. I'll record something and bring it over next week.
I got some DivX videos for you to try out.
Now,
and then the compression is nice because I'm taking a 2 gig file from Myth, and compressing it down to about 300 megs. So, you know, I'm doing a whole lot of compression on it, but I got such a big file to start with on it. You're not really, you know, on a 4-inch screen, you're not seeing all that many artifacts.
Right.
I'm sure that if I tried to blow it back up to a TV screen, you'd see it, but...
I'll burn some discs for you, dudes.
Now, you could take the Neuros audio device, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Play your DVD through it, but you have to record it in real time, obviously.
It does in real time.
And get it over onto the PlayStation Portable and not have to worry about paying the price.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have conversion programs to do both of that anyways. I have one on the Mac that works really good for its FFmpeg X, I think it's called.
Now, is that Linux?
That works under the Mac, right? That's under the Mac, sir. But that, you know, I mean, you pretty much point it to the video, point it to what you want to turn it into, and it, you know, walk away. And, you know, it dings when it's done on it. Plus, I can do the same thing on the Linux box as well.
Ding, fries are done.
I got such a kick out of that video. But, you know, I have the same thing because...
Ding, video done.
There's a program out there for Myth called Myth to iPod, which does the conversion after Myth does your recording on. It's an external program that converts it to iPod format, which is what I use on the basis for converting it to PSP format. So I have all the codecs for that. I just have to plug it in and run it through that program, and it'll do the conversion for me as well.
Do it, man.
It'd be nice if I could just, like, leave it plugged in and in the morning have it, you know, with all the new videos.
Ready to go.
Unfortunately, that takes battery supplies and running it all night, and I have no desire to do that.
That's the problem with a lot of these handheld devices, audio, video. They all run on little batteries, and if you leave them running all night, they get drained.
You know, I can plug in the PlayStation Portable. It has a plug and everything, right. You know, AC stuff on it. But the screen never fully goes off, so I don't want to waste time on it, you know, all night long. You know, it has a built-in screensaver. It'll go to screensaver.
Why do you have to leave it in all night long? What is that?
Well, if I continued writing the program so that, it, you know, every morning it automatically would sync up all the programs for me.
Okay.
Right now, there's still some manual work because the PlayStation Portable, their naming convention is not normal.
Oh.
You know, it's MV4 and then a bunch of zeros, .mp4. So it's annoying, so I've got to change the name every time I copy stuff over.
Now...
But worst things you can do. It takes all of 5 minutes to do all the...
Does that take any external media?
Their version of the flashcards. Yeah, their version
that's
of memory
sticks. Secure media card, right?
Excuse me?
The secure media card?
It's their little... what the hell do they call it? That little gum stick type one that they have.
So oh, yeah, it's pretty long.
Yeah, but this
one's like half the size of a normal. Of course, it's not the same one you can buy everywhere else.
Yeah, that is
new machine, new memory card.
No, man, you can get them over at Staples. I saw them there a few days ago.
Oh, yeah, I know.
What I was thinking was why not purchase one of those and then you get an adapter? And then you could just, like, push your shows on from a Linux box at night, and then you just plug your secure media card in and go, right?
Yeah, that little box that you have on it that you did you doing the review on, that would be really nice, and that would work perfectly for that. Yeah, I could do that at night with that box. But, you know, I got the Myth box all plugged in. It's all ready to go, so it's, you know. It works nicely so far.
It is.
I installed a new version of Kinotix on my dad's machine this past weekend. Rocks.
And that relates to the PSP, the Neuros Audio, and the GPT-2X how?
Well, there was a dead pause, so I segue into the next thing.
Good segue.
Hold on a second. We'll get to your just one second. I have a question for Link, and this is what I want to bring up about the Neuros Audio. What format... No, not the Neuros Audio.
The recorder?
Your recorder. The camera you have.
The MPEG-4 recorder?
No, the camera you got.
Oh, the camera.
Amtech?
The Amtech. Okay. What format does it record
in? Amtech, yeah.
What is the codec
format? It's still an MPEG-4. It's a DivX MPEG-4.
Okay. What's the ASF file?
What do you mean? The ASF is that's a DivX extension.
Oh, it is? What is ASF?
I think Microsoft uses it, but it ends up to be a... I Couldn't even tell you, man.
Suck.
I know it's. I think it's just it stands for a DivX encoded MPEG-4 file.
Okay.
Microsoft's version.
Oh, okay. So ASF is Microsoft's version of MPEG-4. All right. Let's hear from Pat about the Canonics.
Yes. On New Year's Day, I went over to my dad's house, and lo and behold, I logged on, and I saw that the new version of Canonics came out, finally. And so I pulled it off of BitTorrent, and I went over to my dad's, and I installed it. So he has a nice dual boot on his Dell machine. It's pretty damn fast. I also picked him up a Belkin router with a wireless, so when I go over there, I don't have to bump whoever's on the computer off. I can bring my laptop if I have to. And so far, so good. You know, no complaints. The only disappointing thing about the new version of Canonics is it doesn't have KDE 3.5. But other than that, it seems pretty nice, man. As far as myself, I think that my current main workstation, which I currently have Canonics on, I'm kind of leaning towards eventually going to Arch on that machine, too, besides the laptop. I had another issue with Arch, by the way. I saw that Firefox 1.5 was moved over to the current repository in Arch, so I decided to upgrade from 1.07. As soon as I downloaded and installed it, I tried opening it up. It just hung forever. It took forever to start up. So I posted today on the forum in Arch, and someone said that the problem is that the configuration file from 1.07 to 1.5 is not compatible, and the thing just hangs. So I deleted the configuration file in my home directory, and as soon as I did that, it created a new one. It works fine now.
That's weird because I've not had a problem.
Maybe it's just an Arch thing. A lot of times, these different applications, you have problems specific to the distro you're running it on because someone from, you know, the package maintainer from that distro, who knows how he compiled it and set up the package, you know? So, but it's working fine now. It's pretty snappy. No problem so far. So the guy who posted the...
Okay, Dan... According to Microsoft, ASF is advanced streaming format.
Systems format.
And Microsoft's own website says that it's a structured file that contains audio and or video content compressed with third-party codecs.
With third-party codecs.
That's what Microsoft's own site says, yes.
Oh, and a wide variety of codecs can be stored in an ASF file and played back with Windows Media Player. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Evil.
So you don't really know what codec it is in. What form, what the codec was
it's
used.
It's an MPEG-4. It's DivX.
Okay. I got it. I see what you're saying. Arr! I see.
Arr.
All that matters is MPlayer plays it. Or Video LAN Client plays it, I'm yes. sure, too.
Yes.
That's all that matters. That's all that matters.
Yeah, I believe the ASF is just a wrapper, kind of like... Og.
Right. Before our guest comes on tonight, why don't you, since you are the man with the Neuros device and you're doing a review, we received an email from...
Joe Bourne.
Joe Bourne.
Who's the main dude of the Neuros.
Why don't you explain what that email was referring to? And by you, I mean you, Link.
Oh, you mean me?
Yeah, you. It was sent to you.
Well, let me read it off.
No, it was sent to Pat. Was it sent to you, Pat?
Both of us.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Stop me.
He says, Joe says, I wanted to let you know that I just posted an open letter to Congress about the analog hole legislation that I hope will remind folks to get involved in this important issue. I believe we all agree that this legislation is a serious threat to innovation, and anything we can do to remind folks that they need to get involved could be a big help. You can just steer folks to open.neurostechnology.com. The link is pretty prominent there. And he also includes a link in his email, which I will copy into the IRC chat right now. Please go check that out. It's important stuff.
So, you know, what is the analog hole? We know what the analog hole is, right? The hole is being that digital, they're trying to lock down.
A perfect copy.
The analog hole is the fact that you can take an analog signal and convert it into a digital signal, and it's not covered under,
DMCA.
DMCA, and it's kind of fair use. Right. Right, which is what the Neuros audio device takes advantage of, because you plug it into your composite audio ports on your TV, or, you know, you could probably get a converter for S-Video to come out. But that's an analog signal coming into a digital device, and it converts it, if I'm not mistaken. Right, Link?
You are correct,
and
sir.
As it stands so far, it's not illegal to own one of these devices or to produce one of these devices.
I mean, it's fair use.
But they want it to be.
What is the big deal if you download a copy of a video that's going over the airwaves and you're just going to watch it? You're not creating compilations and selling them on eBay.
You're not paying them for it. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, I'm paying for it. But I pay on my satellite bill every month.
But you're not paying them specifically for it.
Yeah, they're getting money out of my freaking monthly bill.
Well, if you're talking about the audio,
not
hole.
Enough, Pat.
If you're talking about the audio hole,
you're not paying them enough money to take that second Hawaiian vacation.
It's propping up a business model that's going to be replaced. They just don't want to replace. You know, they're digging in their heels, and they don't want to change. Basically,
right? I mean, you're right. You're talking about what you're getting coming in to your TV out through analog or even digital. And honestly, when it comes down to it, they really, I don't think, have any jurisdiction over you taking what you've recorded and using it for your own personal use.
Exactly.
But they're going to prevent you from doing that via the technology.
The bastards.
They're going to block it off, the broadcast flag, trying to close the analog hole. You know, anything that they can do. And it doesn't make sense, because it ultimately only is going to hurt them.
Eventually it will, right. But by then, all the people involved with this will be retired. Basically what it comes down to.
You can only hope.
Right, well, you know, something that goes right along with that is that I think in 2009, they're supposed to roll everything to digital media format for television and stuff in the United States.
Yeah, and the government is subsidizing converter boxes for the public.
They're going to make $10 billion, right. $10 billion off that deal.
Damn.
Who, the government or?
The government
will. Because they're going to re-auction all of the analog signal that they're replacing is going to be auctioned off.
Which, you know, even though they shot down the broadcast flag,
so then there's going to be no way to get analog.
Well, they're still pushing it through because of the fact that we shot down the broadcast flag was shot down, because that would have blocked what they're trying to do with this legislation on it. The broadcast flag, even though they have said that it wouldn't be used to block you from recording anything, bullshit. You know damn well that once it got in there,
bullshit.
On it, it would be turned on so that you could get an hour off your TiVo. You know, you could record onto your TiVo and keep it for an hour, and then it would automatically delete. And the new TiVos can do that now anyways. I think the old ones probably could either, but could also, but it wasn't implemented. But the newer ones can flag things and have them deleted after a certain amount of time. So this is just, you know, they got one door shut in front of them, and they're just going to another door, basically.
I got some news from the place I ordered the GP2X from. They said my product should be shipped out Friday or Monday. They're apologizing for the delay. Just wanted to let everybody know. I'm excited, so that's cool. So hopefully, fingers crossed, I'll have it by next show. But yeah, there's a serious problem, and it's something that we need to be concerned about. And, you know, when you start looking at this stuff, regarding video and audio, and who was it, Pat, that said this won't be a problem in a year?
Stephen Vaughn Nichols
had said, I'm hoping that does come true. I mean, right now, some of the best ways that we have to view audio and video or video on Linux. Of course, not including the Vorbis and Theora formats, MPEG for VidX, and those open formats. Flash, even though it's kind of closed, but yet they're moving towards more open structure, more open technology, is a way that we can and view these formats. And what's your feeling with regards to Flash that Macromedia said they're not going to release a Flash version 8 for Linux, but they're going to release an 8.5. They're going right to 8.5 instead. That means, in my mind, there's going to be a bit of a delay, but at least...
Probably going to be a lot of delay there, yeah.
Right, well, yeah, a lot of a delay.
Just keep in mind that that's not Microsoft we're talking about, so it won't be that long of a delay.
It might not, but still, there's going to be a significant delay between 8 and 8.5 that if you are going to a site and they're going to take advantage of 8, that you will not be able to participate in those until the 8.5 comes out for Linux. And, you know,
there's
maybe
be a lot
impact,
of stuff we miss.
There might not be that much of an impact. Now, also keep in mind that while Flash is available for Linux, and hopefully the GPL Flash is going to catch up really fast because it is open source, and hopefully we'll get a whole lot more development going on in there, there is another format that Macromedia puts out that excludes Linux, and that's called Shockwave.
Okay. That's Windows-only Shockwave.
I believe so. Yeah. And that might even exclude OS X, but I'm not sure.
I think it does.
Why? Why is that still restricted to one platform? Because I had that problem downstairs the other day that my daughter was like really into pinball stuff. She wanted to check out pinball stuff. My wife was going out to pinball sites, and they'd come up, and it would say you need a specific plugin, and she'd try and find the plugin. It doesn't exist. And that would prompt me to think that it's Shockwave, because most every other site was Flash and a Shockwave. Why continue with... What is it about Shockwave that can't be ported to other platforms?
Good question. It's the same company, right?
They don't want to.
I noticed because I go on the SesameStreet.org website for my two-year-old. You know, they'll go on and play the stupid Elmo games and stuff. And some of the...
Sure, you go on for your two-year-old.
I do. And some of the stuff is Shockwave, and he can't play it.
Sorry, I was responding to that guy.
Well, all it is just music, right? It's some music codec, right?
What, Shock? Shockwave?
Shockwave, right?
I think it has to do with more interactivity.
It's mostly music, though. It's like
rapper. There's a lot of games that are just Shockwave as opposed to just pure
Flash. I haven't hit any sites lately for it, so...
But Shockwave is... I think more interactivity, games. I'm not sure about music.
Yeah, the one that he wants to play is they play like different music from like different countries around the world. And it says, you're currently not using the most current version of Internet Explorer. Please upgrade.
Screw you.
But that's okay. I just hit... click, you know, something else quickly before he notices. It's okay now when he's two, but once he gets a little older, forget about it.
Well, hopefully by then it won't be a problem.
Hopefully.
Let's talk about our guest tonight. Should I call him?
Yeah, he hasn't jumped in yet.
No, he hasn't dropped in
yet.
Let's
give him 3 more minutes and then we'll call him.
Okay. Now, here's the question. If I call him on the X10 Lite, I got to cut Link off. But if I go over to the IAXCOM, I can transfer him in 8100.
And then hang up and then go back in with the X10?
I don't know if I can do that.
You should try it.
Well.
What's the worst that happens? You hang up on him. I don't know. It seems the IAXCOM, it sounds good with the guests, but it seems like the only person that's hurt is you, Dan. Everybody else sounds like all distorted and shit. It's kind of frustrating, actually.
Well, give it another try. When we were doing the IAX client on it, we had a bunch of knobs that had been turned.
Okay. Hey, Link, hold on a second, okay?
Knobs that were turned.
I'm hoping that we got rid of that. But.
Link, I'm going to cut you off. I'm going to cut out of the client. I'll be right back.
Oh, $169.98.
All right, I'm going to try a... Let's bring this up and see if we can actually do this. Or what happens when we do this. Where's my account? Oh, here we go. Talk, Alan.
Hello. I'm reading up on this PCHDTV.com.
This is Aaron Balberg, I'm going to be speaking to
him. No, this isn't him. Uh-huh. This is not him. Not him yet.
Who's this?
I am doing a test call to see if I can transfer and drop out.
Oh, okay. Who are you calling, your wife?
Mm-hmm.
Who's downstairs?
I don't know if she'll pick up.
She might be busy with the kids.
Yeah, she might be. I might have to call Alan's cell phone. It is, isn't it? I thought it wasn't going to
be. It's rather painful, too.
Sounds English.
That didn't work.
That's Jeff to beep.
All right. Alan, give me your cell phone number. Is it a 610 area code?
Yeah.
And,
let me find it to you. I'll give it to you.
Send it out over to airwaves.
That's
so they
why I wasn't doing it that way.
1-800 love plug.
Love to know where I have it here.
Hurry, Link's probably crying right now. Why have they hung up on me?
Hello?
Hello?
Who's this?
This is me.
I'm going to transfer you. Hold on a second.
The Corbin Project.
Oh. It's like so many voices in my head.
Now,
here.
Can you talk to Link?
Link? Yeah, Link's here.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to drop out.
Okay. Now, are you still connected?
We're still connected, yeah. But it doesn't make a difference. Dan hasn't closed out of the session yet.
Are you still connected?
I'm still in the conference room, yeah.
So you can do it then. Try going back into the conference room with the X-Lite. This is a little bit tedious. It's like, if we edited the show, this is the part we would cut out.
Hey there, Alan.
Ouch.
I'm here.
It works.
Whoa.
Now we have a plan.
What?
Some serious echo is going on there.
That's okay.
It's just so much.
You're picking up the echo in Alan's phone.
All we know is that it worked. And I guess that's all that matters.
The voice is in my head.
Worse than usual, Alan? More voices than usual?
What a convoluted way to do this.
You saw the movie Sybil. They're coming out the new movie called Alan.
What we need to get is
Sybil.
Black Ratchet from BinRev to come over here and hack our asterisk box if we can do it right. But all right, so let's give him a call. Let's call this guy. I'm going to call him on the
his cell phone.
I just hung up on Link again.
You got it?
Yeah. Hold on.
No, if you because he's still in the conference room.
He's still there. He's just sitting.
He's totally separate of.
No, I know he's separate, but I just hung up on him
this
again.
Oh, yeah, for
he's
for
not
sure.
on right now.
This isn't Skype.
Right. Okay.
Whew.
Now, go ahead, talk something up. Tell about our guest coming.
Our guest is Aaron Balbargan from PlutoHome.com. Which is a home automation website. He's based in Miami. He's currently on the road. I have a feeling he's out in California at CES. That's probably going to be one of the first questions I'm going to ask him. But it looks pretty cool. He has like this whole suite application where you can have home automation using a whole bunch of open source Linux-based applications like MythTV and some other programs, Asterisk to tie in, and using your Bluetooth-enabled cell phone to control everything as like a remote. So it looks real interesting type stuff, man. If anybody gets a chance, check out the website. It looks real cool.
All right, I'm going to dial him up.
Let's give him a call. Dan, get ready to jump in case it sounds like shit. Maybe you should talk. Dan, you talk. That's weird. That's odd.
Please leave your message. 650307.
Wait, I gotta drop that out of there. Maybe he's having trouble connecting.
It's okay. Possibly.
He's contacting you. Have you checked your email?
Let me see.
Check your email and see if.
Nope, nothing.
Okay. We'll try him again in a few minutes.
Yeah, give him a few minutes. We'll talk about other stuff in the meantime. You want me to go back to Canonics on my dad's machine?
Sure, why not?
Wait. Oh, yeah, go ahead. Let me. Is that the Gold Monkey?
Yeah, I'm going to try out Gold Monkey.
That funky monkey?
The beer that we're drinking tonight, I brought some Blithering Idiot from Weyerbacher, which is the local beer brewery here in Easton. And Dan has this Golden Monkey, Victory Golden Monkey, which is another...
From Downingtown.
Another
local brew.
Another Pennsylvania brewery.
That funky monkey.
So it's good stuff. Okay, I guess we're going to try to call him again. Or are you getting linked back?
Link.
Now? That sounds good.
Yeah.
Wow. That's got a lot of flavor, man. Woof.
Link. What the hell did I do?
I don't know. What'd you do? It's Golden Monkey. It's a triple.
I don't think it actually connected, dude.
It says triple ale brew with spices. It's not bad. Not bad. Not 9.
Because they're saying something about discovering firewall.
9.5% alcohol volume. That's pretty good. You know, one of the big misconceptions is, especially with foreigners, is that...
Logged in. Please try again.
All beer from the United States sucks, and that's not the case.
Sorry,
there we are.
All right, sorry. We couldn't. You obviously know. We tried to call the guest and we didn't. We just got voicemail.
Yeah, I was looking on the stream.
So we're gonna try again in a few minutes. Pat's talking about
beer.
Good
stuff, man. There's a lot of fantastic microbrewers in the United States for our European and Canadian friends,
or for people from anywhere else in the world.
There are some fantastic microbreweries in the United States. You go California to some good ones. There's some good ones in the East. All around the country, man. Really good stuff, man. Fantastic. Weyerbacher's fantastic. I love it. There's at least 3 or 4 different brews that they have that are really good. Nevada Pale Ale is good.
I keep checking out all those micro brews, and the only problem that I have with them is they all taste like beer.
You ever have Harpoon? From Boston?
Yes, and why doesn't it taste like scotch?
Harpoon is really good. They're based in Boston, but they also have one in Vermont as well. They're real good.
Have I ever had Poon from Boston?
Harpoon.
Have you ever been harpooned in Boston?
I had some Poon from Boston.
Next time we go to Boston, we got to go on the brewery tour for, whatchamacallit, Sam Adams. Jim Cook, you know? That's good stuff, too.
I think we need to find a whiskey tour somewhere.
You got to go to Scotland for that, my friends.
Speaking of, when are we doing our cigar run?
Let's go to Scotland.
Scotland forever.
Cigar run, we have to do that soon, too.
Yeah, we got an email from a guy who's got a cigar place down in, where is that? Morristown?
Yeah, I don't have the email in front of
me. That's the other side of Trenton, right?
It's across from Trenton. Yeah, it's across from
Pennsylvania side of Trenton.
What is the Trenton Computer Fest? Did they still have that?
They still have it, but I don't know when.
Isn't
it
like
is.
April or something?
April, it's like springtime. We should go to that.
Oh, by the way, March is Cherryville.
Cherryville, what?
The Hamfest.
Hamfest.
March, I think 11th, but I'm not totally sure.
Well, I heard a door bang. That doesn't sound good.
Somebody's
That's
mad.
Never good.
Boo. Yeah.
Dan's in trouble.
So shall I talk more about Canonics while we're waiting for our guests?
Yeah.
Yeah, basically my dad for Christmas / New Year's, I bought him a router. I did a dual boot. I put Canonics on there. Well, life is good. It seems to be running pretty well. No complaints so far. Eventually, I hope to get rid of Windows completely on his system. And he seems pretty open to it. He doesn't care either way. Just as long as his machine runs quick and no problems, he's happy. The first thing he noticed was how fast, you know, everything was compared to Windows XP. I mean, when he is running XP on there, he was getting spyware, viruses, all that other crap. And he was running antivirus software, too, Norton. You know, but just a matter of time till, you know, we get rid of the Windows partition. I posted some, you know, my New Year's resolution for Linux on my blog. And basically, personally, I'm going to tell people that I know that if they need help with computers, I'm not going to help them if they're still running Windows. If they want to switch to Linux, I'll help them as much as they want. If they're running Windows, they got to go pay somebody else, not me. I'm not doing it anymore. You know, I don't mean to sound like a freaking hard ass, but you got to draw the line. You know what I'm saying?
It's a nice line to draw.
I mean, Dan, what do you feel about it? Do you help friends and family with Windows shit still?
It's a tough call because while my neighbors, I would love to get them on Linux. I am the one neighbor I thought about uses a dial-up connection and uses...
And that pretty much kills it.
Yeah,
right there.
You know, people PC is like not friendly with Linux. Now Fastnet or Ethernet. Yeah, you know, so trying to convince them.
The biggest pain, biggest pain though is getting the modem to work.
Right.
I think
unless they
go with an external modem.
Right. You're right.
On anything, you know, and anybody who has a laptop has an internal and doesn't want to go out and buy an external modem just to be able to get on the internet. But it works. I just plug it in the back. Oh, sorry, it doesn't. Not anymore.
Right. I gave my dad an Ubuntu box that my daughter installed for him.
We got to see that video.
Yeah. I got to put that video together yet. I really would like to have gotten my dad a USB scanner for Christmas. The problem is, I mean, he doesn't do much scanning, and a lot of the scanners out there that work with Linux are about around the $100 price range, starting at $100 price range, which, you know, you can go out to like Staples or something and buy a scanner for $30, but it doesn't work with Linux, which is unfortunate. And it's one of those things that once you get a scanner that works with Linux, which I have, it's an Epson 610, and it's phenomenal, works great with Linux, it's a USB scanner.
They don't make it anymore.
Well, yeah, no, they don't make it anymore, number one. And number two, I think a lot of the Epson scanners, for one, I think were with Linux. You don't pay too much attention once you have a scanner that works with Linux to the fact that there's a hell of a lot of scanners out there that don't work with Linux, unfortunately. And, you know,
I gave up on scanners years ago.
Right. The Sane Project does a phenomenal job of compatibility, you know, trying to secure compatibility. And if I'm not mistaken, there is a commercial product out there. I forget the name of it for scanners for on the Linux side. I've only played around with it once and did a trial of it. But, you know, with my scanner, works great under Sane, and it does everything I need it to do. So I haven't paid much attention to it. Parallel port scanners are notorious for being extremely difficult.
Are they still around? They're not manufacturing anymore for parallel.
No, there's not.
Most of the new printers don't even have parallel in them. It's all USB now.
Right. And when I bought my dad's scanner, we're going back about four years, I think, and I bought him a parallel port scanner because that was like, you know, he had a Windows machine. It was cheap at the time. That's what I got him. It was right at the point where, right about 2 or 3 months before USB scanners really started coming down in price. But, you know, it's kind of like the wireless devices with Linux right now. You have a lot of devices that only work with Windows. And, you know, and if you think that scanning under Linux is a pain in the ass, scanning under OS X is a pain in the ass, too.
I've never done it.
It is horrendous. Now, I may be a little off by a year, okay? But when we got some scanning stuff in, all the software that came in, we bought some scanners, we got some mobile apps, we got scanners. All the software that came in was had to go under operate under classic mode, which means it had to go under OS 9 or previous.
Okay.
And this is like a year ago, and OS what Panther? Three versions of OS 10 into it, and we're only looking at software for OS 9. I mean, it really, really was pitiful. In my opinion, the options out there were a hell of a lot worse than they were for Linux. Hell of a lot worse. Which means, you know, hey, props to the SANE guys. They do a phenomenal job.
Yeah, what Dan said.
But, you know, you get a scanner that works with Linux, and it's great.
What do you recommend?
Epson 610.
Epson? How about HP? I've had good experience with HP.
There's a good selection of HPs that work. What I recommend is before you buy any scanner, head on over to the SANE webpage, look at the device hardware compatibility list.
They have a list over there of ones that work.
There's a nice list that works, you know, that tells you exactly what's going to work. You know, some of the pros and cons. Go over to linuxquestions.org hardware compatibility list. You know, look at the Linux hardware compatibility lists. Linux questions, SANE. Start with those two, then go to your distribution. I mean, the fact is...
You know what would be great?
What?
What would be great is a list that lists scanners that work with Linux in order of their price and where you can get them.
I've always had HP printers, man. I never had problems with them.
HP printers?
Yeah.
We're talking about scanners.
Well, I never bought a scanner. I'm in the market for a scanner, though.
Yeah. Have you noticed that if printers these days, you go out and buy a printer, like $30 printer. You buy a printer, you don't buy cartridges anymore. You just throw the printer away and buy a new one.
It's come a throwaway item.
Yeah.
Well, they've been like that for quite a while.
Right? Yeah. I mean, the cartridges are like $30 a pop. Unless you get the refills, but then they don't recommend you get the refills.
Those Lexmark's a piece of shit, right? Those should be avoided, the printers.
Yes and no. I got a Lexmark, and it was a pain in the ass to get working under Linux. Now, the HPs have a little more compatible. Like, the HP I got from my dad was about $40-$50, and it works perfectly with Linux. But it's one of those things where the printer itself was like $40-$50 tops. And you got a color cartridge, I think. What they do now is I think they give you a color cartridge. Because if you print it black, it uses all three colors. And it uses the cartridge faster. Now, the cartridge itself, for a color cartridge, is like $30-$40.
Yeah, around that.
So it's just, you know, you throw the printer and you go buy a new printer.
I'm of the opinion that you should just go to a computer show and buy a good used laser printer.
I was just saying, I'm quite happy with the one that fell out of your trunk.
Mm-hmm. Which trunk?
The laser one I got from you that fell out of your trunk.
My trunk.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, man. I got that laser printer that had a used cartridge in it, and I'm still on that used cartridge over there.
I'm still using the same. I keep going. I've got to go out and buy a cartridge just to have one because by the time I use up the cartridge that was in that thing, they probably won't make them anymore like that.
I know. You know, seriously, that is the best investment right there.
I do nothing in color, and what little bit that I do in color, I mean, what very little bit, is, you know, I take it to work and I'll print it out there. I'll use up my Xerox account there, where I do 90% of my printing anyways.
Right.
Because why should I waste money?
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
Not that I condone stealing from work or anything like that.
But. Some of the lower end laser printers, the cheap ones, are I would avoid those. Some of the brothers, they go pretty fast, but man, those older HP laser jets, they go
for go for the old ever. HP.
And I love how the fact that it just dims the lights in my house when it goes off.
What model do you have?
That's right.
What is it? The 4M, I think it is, or 4M? Yeah, I think it's 4M.
How big is it?
It's, I don't know, about.
Is it bigger than mine right down there?
It's close to the same size. A little bit smaller, maybe.
I'll tell you what, man.
I got the 4SI. You could fit 6 of your printers inside mine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man.
That's the one that took up your trunk on the way home.
Holy moly. Yours
is weighing like 200 pounds. Yeah, whole trunk up.
Got a hernia moving it.
I thought Link's car was going to be like scraping all the way home from the computer fest with that one in the back.
It works really good, though.
You get some cool shit at those shows, man.
Man, I'll tell you what, though. A laser printer, oh, holy crap. You sacrifice the color, but man, they just go forever. Especially the older ones, man. They just keep. Now, yeah. I think there's some built-in obsolescence in the newer ones, but these older ones, just they just keep going.
Yeah, I mean, especially because, like I say, I print out at home. You know, well, my wife prints out more than me. That's why I got to worry about a laser cartridge. But I do like 10 sheets of, you know, a month. You know, I have nothing to print out, you know, that I need to print out that way. But she goes wild on it.
Now, what I have to do is I got to shut my cups off. I have disabled printing because the kids, they'll print. Oh, my goodness.
Well, that's what Carolyn did on it. I couldn't figure out, you know, the printer was out of paper for the longest time. It's how often as I print on it, it ran out of paper and I just left it that way. But she keeps hitting print. And of course, that stuff stays there waiting for the printer to get paper in it. I put paper in there and like 50 sheets come out of it. I'm like waste half a ream of paper on it just waiting for Carolyn's stuff to all crap out.
But you can feed it right back in.
Yeah, well, it's...
You're not supposed to, though, because of
the way it fuses the toner on there.
Polarity, yeah, not on a laser printer.
She printing pictures of all your
toner back inside the printer.
She's got like the full size print out of Tim McGraw.
She's got the one where it's like banner print. Each sheet is like a little piece of it. It covers the whole wall.
Alan's like, "What the hell is this thing? It's like a ruler." Blah, 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 blah. Oh, it's his penis.
That's bad. Want to try giving this guy a call again?
Yeah, I gotta take a piss so bad. Too many beers. Link, I'm going to cut you off a second. I'll be right back. Oh, wait, that was the wrong button.
We'll see if he's there. If he's there, we'll talk to him. If not, life goes on. What I can say. We can bullshit for another hour.
There's plenty of stuff we got to talk about.
Plenty of things to talk about. It's good to talk to guests, though. It breaks up the monotony a little bit.
All right, here we go. Oh, shit.
What'd you do?
Ah!
You dump out again?
No, my IAX is set up to go to GoIAX instead of our server by default, and I've just never gotten around to...
Changing it back?
Changing it back. To have it.
Having problems, Dan?
Okay, let's try it now.
Curious to see what this guy charges for a setup the way he describes it on his website. Probably expensive, man. You could tell he probably goes into like.
Hold on a second.
Dun, 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 dun.
Why is it rejecting the call?
I don't know, Dan. I don't know what you got set up these days. All I know is Astros keeps running, man, no matter what. you could be blowing away the desktop and the clients and shit, and Asterix keeps running, and whoever's in the conference room is still there usually. Dan, you doing compiles again?
No, I don't know why he keeps rejecting.
He's reconfiguring his Enlightenment desktop as we speak. He's got like six machines running. You got the machine with the audio
stream.
Oh,
here you go. The O'Reilly's Asterix books is now available for free download.
Oh, that's cool. That looked like a good book, actually.
It's in PDF form. It's on the second page of Dig, if anybody wants to go to it. Let me.
We could have used that book 6 months ago, unfortunately.
Well, I'm sorry. Let me go put it on the...
Better late than never, I say, right?
Let me go put it on the chat.
Better late than never, is what I say.
Damn, people are fast. People type faster than me.
Hey, you don't know how to type?
No, I just highlighted. Really? I just went over to the chat and
seriously,
text 1313.
Do you know how to type without looking, like touch type?
Two or three fingers at a time.
I took typing in high school, man, with this freaking old nun that was about 80 years old, man. You know, she'd come over and whack us with the freaking stick if you were doing it wrong. No, man, I learned.
They didn't let the stoners in the typing class, so
it's the best way to learn, man. I tell you.
Go pretty well myself.
On a good day, I do about 70 words a minute.
Not going to try there.
All subjects are busy now. Please try your call.
He's at the strip bar in L.A. So
it won't let me. Why won't it let me call his extension?
I don't know, Mom. What are you trying to call?
It won't let me call it.
Maybe we're eating up the bandwidth too much. Which is a possibility, you know, Dan. But anyhow, couple weeks I got the main man from
I gotta take a piss.
WordPress. On the 18th, I got Matt Mulvey.
We're all glad to hear that.
Who's the guy? Hey, Link, what's up? Dan is having problems here. His bladder is,
yeah, I see that.
His bladder is constricting, and he's he's got to run out of the room because it hurts.
It hurts so bad.
It hurts. I'm peeing red.
It's so bad.
So, do you guys have a techie Linux related New Year's resolution?
No.
Anything you want to get done this year?
Nope.
Hey, you know what? I kind of like your resolution.
I stopped making.
Which part?
Resolutions years ago.
I the do resolution like what you did. About not helping people with their Windows machines.
You got to draw the line, man.
Well, I've already started doing that to a guy at work. He came up to me the other day, and I was like, I charge for information now. And he walked away.
I don't even charge, man. If you got a Windows problem, I don't want to talk to you.
No, make some money off of it.
No. You can't do that. If
sure you can.
If you want, yeah, if you want, but I'm not doing that.
So I don't really have to worry too much because the only person that's using it right now is my sister, and I've already told her that I refuse to work on her laptop again. Now, my parents are using Ubuntu, so I don't have too much to worry about right now.
See, you know, I just tell people at work ask me all the time, you know, and I just tell them that I'll fix their Windows computer for them for $65 an hour, which is, you know, what I charge for service. Or I'll help them with Linux for practically nothing.
Which I think is fair, because that's what they're going to pay anyways, you know.
Well, the big thing for me is trying to get Linux at work where I work. I've worked for the same company almost 10 years now, and it's a financial shop, and it's a mixed environment. There's some mainframe, there's some Unix, and all the desktops are Windows. Windows XP is what they're running professional. And
that just doesn't make sense.
I can't
to me,
stand
man.
It.
If you're running the mainframe and Unix, there's no reason that they should hold you to XP for your desktop. You know?
I totally agree, man. People have problems, actually. The lady who sits next to me, her machine was crapping out on her, and they had to come and reinstall Windows on it, which is kind of odd because that place is completely freaking firewalled off, and the only port that's open is like port 80, so it's almost impossible to get in. Though they used Lotus Notes like crazy there. I've actually gotten lately. I've gotten some spam at work, which is pretty shocking. That's the first time that's ever happened. I mean, you talk about spam. Lately, it seems
the
spam bots have gotten a lot smarter, it seems.
Tell me what you think of it.
What is this, a Pilsner?
I think so.
It's good. It's nice and light.
Well, I know I will be getting a Linux box at work.
I like it.
You like it?
I like it better than this one.
But I don't know what it is yet.
I have two sips of.
You don't want this one?
Go ahead.
I'll take it.
This is good.
I like
Pilsner.
This is sweeter. This is pretty good.
You know what's pretty good, man?
Sharing
it's like
beers
got a bite
now.
To it.
we're going to make out after the show.
Just remember, when the bus leaves, Dan will have to drive you home.
The butt leaves.
Pilsner is good stuff, man. You ever have Pilsner or Quell, the Czech beer? It's really good.
No, I have not.
Pilsner or Quell is really good.
And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you guys off.
But anyhow, I was talking about my workplace. I've approached some people about starting an internal lug group at the company, and so far they've been pretty open to it. And I think I'm gonna start it off just to see what kind of reception, and see, you know, if people are interested in checking out Linux. Just like a very casual lunch hour type thing where you come in, you know, in one of the conference rooms. I'll talk about Linux. I'll do a presentation or two. I'll give out some bootable CDs, and we'll take it from there, you know?
You know, speaking of that, we got a donation of 30 Toshiba laptops.
Which ones? The piece of shit ones or the decent ones?
These are, I think they're satellite. I'm not sure. These are a few years old. They're Pentium 4s, I think, or Celeron. I think they're on the low end of gigahertz. They have 128 to 256 megs of RAM, and they install Windows XP on these things, and they're dog slow. I fired up DSL on there today.
Smoking fast, right?
Right. And the time for the damn thing to boot up into Windows and log into our network, I was booting into DSL. I had configured not only the network device. When it failed to get an IP address from our DHCP server because the port I was plugged into was wrong, but I also configured a printer on there and composed a nice little letter and then afterwards printed it out in the time it took to get into Windows on the other machine.
What you got to do, dude, is stick the damn small into the CD drive and crazy glue it shut.
Yeah, you know it.
Now, you can do hard drive installs on that.
Yeah, you can. And the sad thing is, man, this thing rocks. It's lightning fast. It has more so than what you get with Windows XP. And I mean, it's beautiful. And it runs off the CD. So everything's in freaking RAM, and it's running this fast. I mean, I click on an application. The guy was like, oh, it's not a fair comparison because this one's only on 128. This one over here. You know, it has 256 megs of RAM, and I had the word processor open on there, Flight Writer. I had Firefox open. I had XMMS playing audio off the internet on the damn thing.
It's cool,
I
right?
I pulled it out. I plugged
but
it in the other
fair.
One.
But it's not fair.
And it was not, there was no difference. 128 megs of RAM. I was doing the same stuff. It took me less time. I even drew a picture of a penis and printed it out. You know, come on. I mean, it was just like, come on, man. This is, damn small Linux was freaking sweet.
The thing that convinced my father to try Linux
was awesome stuff, man.
I stuck the Kinotic CD, the bootable in there, and from the CD, it was running faster than Windows, noticeably faster. It was so snappy and responsive, man. He's like, yeah, I'll try that, you know? I'm like, no problem, it's on there. It's done.
But you know what? From that damn CD that piece of shit CD you get for free from Kinotix or from Kinopix or even from damn small
Ubuntu
Linux.
Or whatever.
I mean, you got a fantastic web browser.
Linspire, whatever.
You've got an office suite. You've got painting programs.
You got audio.
You've got everything and more. I mean, especially when you're talking about Kinotix and damn small Linux. Not damn small Linux. Kinotix and
Ubuntu.
Kinopix or any of those live CDs. I mean, you've got a full you got a full Linux suite on there that you could do everything from, you know, serving up web pages to graphic development on. It's phenomenal. Hell of a lot more than what you get with just a standard install of XP. And if I'm not mistaken, I think somebody actually did put out a bootable Windows CD.
Yes, he did.
So there is basically saying a bootable virus CD.
Iron Geek actually, he talks a lot about the Windows bootable. It's basically a hacking CD where you can go in and crack a Windows system with this Windows bootable. I forget the name of what the name of it is.
I have to look that up. But, you know,
you can crack the passwords basically off of XP or NT or whatever.
Right. That's right. He did bring something up like that. I remember him saying something. Should we try this guy one more time?
Try one more time and then we can
on a side
Link,
note there,
I'm
going
to cut you off, okay?
Dan, have you had problems at school with that latest Windows problem that's floating around?
I don't know yet, because we've only been back for 2 days.
The latest Windows feature that's floating around.
And I'll tell you what, I have gotten like 3 or 4 emails that have gotten through my spam filter with that problem.
I know somebody must have had it on the RCN network last night, because I went to Google a couple times and it kept going, we're not helping you here because we've detected a virus from your machine. I'm like, okay, yeah, I just fired up Firefox here in Linux. I don't think so.
Yeah, but it's been pretty bad. I mean, since that exploit was published, I've noticed that I've been getting like 1 or 2 emails a day that I've gotten through my spam filter with that crap in it. I don't know why it's not letting me get through.
You're probably eating up your bandwidth, man.
It won't let me get through on this guy's. I don't know. There we go.
All circuits are busy now. Please try your call again later.
Well, he's getting a lap dance in one of the booths at CES.
But yeah, since that exploit,
so we can't call him out of the conference room, can we? We can't be in the conference room and make an outgoing call, can we?
Sounds like it's working.
Hello?
Hello, Aaron.
Aaron.
Yes?
This is Dan from the Linux Link Tech Show.
Yeah, hold on, let me walk somewhere where I get better cellular coverage. 1 second.
Okay.
We got through.
Okay. Sorry, can you hear me better now?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I think there's a horribly long lag because I hear my own echo like 3 seconds after I talk. But anyway, who is this again?
This is Dan from the Linux Link Tech Show.
Ah, yes, Dan, how are you doing?
All right.
Gosh, that time already, is it?
Yeah, do you want us to contact you another week if the lag's that bad?
We're at CES. We're getting set up, and we've had some problems with some equipment, and that's why we're just running around like crazy trying to get our booth going and swapping out stuff. But you already scheduled it for 6 o'clock?
Yeah, you know what? That's no problem. I mean, we got other things we can do, and we could just contact you at another day.
We could talk in a couple weeks.
If we could do it another time, that would be great. We're setting up for the trade show and it opens tomorrow, and so we're just running around like crazy.
Hey, I understand. That's no problem. We'll get back to you and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Okay.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Good luck.
We look forward to it, though.
I'll talk to you later then.
All right, thanks a lot.
Did I call it? CES, man.
Hey, that's no problem, man. We're flexible.
That's a crazy show. You haven't been to CES in L.A.?
No.
It's insane, man.
No, I have not.
It's a crazy show. My brother, who used to write for Video Games Magazine, he was always going to that. And I went to it 1 year, man. It's just fucking... It's a massive fucking show, man. It's huge.
My,
You think you're
our PR guy now. You should be getting us tickets for this.
Well, we got
getting us passes.
Fly to LA, man.
That's okay.
I don't know anybody.
You know what, Pat? I'm really pissed off at you, and I'm going to tell you why.
Because he's a dick, and everybody hates him.
But we just tolerate
him because he gets the best guests.
No, you get us people who are at CES, and I don't recall you telling them that they need to send us swag.
Yeah. Link, you're always playing for the free shit.
Free stuff, free stuff.
We need the swag, man. We're a free show. The only way we get anything is if we beg for it, so start begging, man.
CES is in Vegas. I was thinking of Comdex. Comdex is L.A. Comdex used to be another show that was based in L.A., and they kind of went down the tubes. And a lot of what used to be at Comdex is now at CES as well. Like, CES is massive now. It's like home electronics, computers, video games, porn. It's crazy, man. It's
porn.
A crazy show.
So get us in next year.
You really want to go to that?
I don't want to go to that. I'd go.
If they have a Linux Expo in Vegas, I'm there, man. Vegas rocks, man.
I'll go.
You ever been to Vegas? Vegas is fun.
Oh, yeah, I love Vegas.
For a weekend?
Go out for like 2 weeks, hell.
The deja vu.
I went out there a couple years back for two weeks. I spent less out there in 2 weeks for everything than I spent for a week in Disney World for just a hotel.
Speaking of conventions, the first week in February, I believe I will not be here that Wednesday because I have to go out to a convention.
Ooh, for swag.
A gun convention.
I go to gun conventions sometimes.
Bring guns back. Cool.
Are you buying or are you selling?
I'm gathering sales information.
He's gathering guns. Cool.
Or DEF CON. But...
talk to me. I'll help you out.
What about the Linux Expo? Any word on that?
I haven't heard back from the guy. I mean, we want to go. We got to get a freaking booth in the .org pavilion. Otherwise, we can't go. Unless somebody from, like, HP freaking offers to sponsor us or something.
Well, get going there, Pat.
Well, I posted that guy's email address. Maybe we should post it again. You know, if the listeners freaking send him enough
crap.
Yeah,
post it again and get some of our listeners to email these people and tell them to get on the stick.
Let me get on it right now. Hold on a sec. Alan, keep talking.
Are you guys listening to us? Want to hear us at the, or want to meet us at the .org pavilion for Linux World Expo, right?
All we need to do is we just need to show up there. We'll find Jeremy and squeeze it in.
Bum rush. Just mooch off of Jeremy the whole time.
We just stand there next to one of the tables.
We'll stand next to the Gen 2 booth.
We'll just all wear our shirts and just walk around the damn floor, you know?
We'll bring some beer and pass out.
That would be cool.
Whiskey.
We got to sneak a couple of cases of beer in there because they're probably pretty tight in there with that. But if we're exhibitors, we could probably get away with a lot more.
Hey, be laying there like passed out with like an empty bottle of vodka laying across our chest. And
the tech show at home.
All I remember is going to the Linux Expo 1 year, and I saw a presentation by John Hall, you know, Mad Dog. I was sitting in the first couple rows. Man, I could smell every drink he had for lunch. You could tell he had a liquid lunch. Dead silence. Everybody's typing away on their computer.
We moved from the asterisks to the chat. Too bad that's a sound. I got something that we could talk about. On LXR.
Today. Elixir?
Elixir. Elixir.
Good website, man.
Fantastic website.
We got plugs by them, man.
I got to say, though, when Elixir started out, you get maybe one, two, maybe three posts a day. Now it's like 15, 20 posts a day. It's becoming the slash analytics.
Yeah, good stuff, too.
Oh, yeah, it's all good stuff.
Elixir and Dig are like replaced Slashdot for me. I hardly ever go to Slashdot anymore.
I like Dig. And my wife uses Dig a lot.
Dig is cool. Sometimes it's
I love Dig.
I like the that open the version that was the Google map of open webcams.
Sometimes though, I notice that like Dig, they tend to become like fanboyish in respect that they're always plugging the people that were related to the old Tech TV crew, you know, like Kevin Rose and those people. Like, Kevin has just released a new podcast episode, blah, 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 blah. I mean, it's kind of self-deprecating in a way. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's a big old circle jerk, you know?
Okay. I can hear what you're saying.
You know, but other than that, it's great. I love it.
Today, there was an article or a commentary posted by Tom Adelstein, if you read it today, called Time to Call Proprietary Software from Open Source Branding. And the general gist of this article was, an attack, maybe attack's too harsh of a word, but a rally against companies that are jumping on the open source bandwagon to take advantage of the community and not contribute back to the community. To take open source as a way to improve their software, but in a sense to use the open source community in essence to gain the benefits, but not necessarily to contribute back to the community.
The leeching, basically.
The leeching, so to speak. That's using licenses not like the GPL. The GPL, which requires that you contribute back to the community, and on the opposite end of the GPL, well, I don't want to say opposite end, but on the other side, you have what's called the BSD license, which does not require that you contribute back to the community. And I use BSD as the extreme, in a sense, to the GPL, because the restriction is that on the BSD license, when I looked it up, is that you have to allow that person to distribute, if it's the source code, the source code as they see fit, or if it's the binary as they see fit. So in essence, if you really want to come down to the definition of free and total freedom, the BSD license is completely free. But the GPL, while it's free software, considered free software, it is free software in the spirit of sharing. It's not 100% free that you can do whatever you want with it, you know, compared to the BSD. I respect the BSD. I do like the concept that you have to contribute back to the community, which is inherent in the GPL, which is not in the BSD, unfortunately. But, you know, what are your feelings about that? I personally, I kind of agree with what's going on there.
Kind of sucks, really.
Yeah, I mean, companies that are taking advantage of open source software and a commercial, and there's no... I have no problem with the commercial aspect, but when they don't contribute back, and I think Apple has been called to task on doing this a lot, particularly with Safari. Yep. And not contributing mm-hmm. back to the Conqueror base, you know, to the capability that they should be contributing back. You know, how does Novell fit into that picture? I look at Novell, and I see that they... for a long time were a very closed source proprietary company, and you know, they had some you know, open source projects, the Novell Forge, and what they're doing with SUSE seems to be pretty good. I mean, they've opened a lot of previously closed projects back to the community, and you know, they seem to be participating as a respectable community member in the Linux environment. Alan? Pat?
I just posted this guy's email address, man. Email this guy, Christian, not mini, at idg.com. Let him know that you want to see us at the .org pavilion this year at the Linux World Expo in Boston, Massachusetts in April.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so that had nothing to do with what
request
I was talking
for the Hoagie Man store.
Hoagie Man, part two.
I'll tell the Hoagie Guy story in a few minutes, but let's finish up what we're talking about here with open source free software.
Well, can I just finish with the Linux World Expo?
No, go ahead.
You know, we've gone to the Linux World Expo every year pretty much. When it was in New York, we used to go every year with the Lug Group, and we used to rent a van and go in. The last year we went, we got the bachelor party special. Had like a stripper pole, had a stripper pole in the back of the freaking van.
No, that was 2 years ago. Yep. Last year was the...
And it smelled like beer, cigarettes, and other things.
and it broke down.
Yeah, the sad part about that.
That was the worst part, breaking down, yeah.
Yeah, it was like 5 degrees outside.
And Dakota. With Dakota frozen Dakota in the back.
But anyway...
The black and black with yellow striped interior.
We did go last year to Boston. We went the first day. We just walked around and stuff, and we met a lot of people. And it was cool. But I really think we really need to have a booth there and spend 3 days there to really meet, you know, a lot of people in the community and get us known and more, you know, more in focus. Especially if we can maybe do a show or two every day. If we could do one show a day for the 3 days that we're there. We would have no problem setting up guests. What's the matter? What are you doing?
That would be interesting.
I'll go and introduce myself. I'll do the same thing I did last time. I met a lot of people last time.
I'll shave my balls at the booth.
Met Doc Searles. Yeah. Nice guy, man.
We didn't meet him, though.
I met him.
You met him.
Yeah, we never
met. We met Mad Dog.
Yeah.
I also met the guy from Memphis.
We met the guy from Memphis, too, didn't we?
Yeah, Warren.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember that one
we got to meet Jeremy finally?
Linux show that we went to in Trans Gaming or Sedega? Trans Gaming.
You were setting all the Sims on fire.
Yeah, so we burned the Sims alive. Yeah,
people walking by going, "You're sick."
Well, if we could do, remember what the Linux show used to do when they were in New York? When the show was in New York, they had that area set up where they were doing a show. If we could do what they did, I would be happy. Remember what setup they had?
Which who?
In New York, the last year of
a Linux show?
Yeah, the Linux World Expo in New York. You remember the setup they had?
We got to be careful because if we send somebody out for an audio cable, they'll charge us $150.
No, but I don't think we're going to... If we do... Right. If we do have a booth, I don't think we're going to do a live stream. I think we'll just record it and release
all
it.
All we need is a couple of... we already got the box we're recording from. We'll take the shit with us and that's it, you know? We'll scan their electricity and we'll have all this shit here.
We'll bring beer, laptops, and the mixer.
Yeah, the two mixers.
Right, we got they got wireless access there.
We'll do something. You know, we're gonna be there.
We're gonna be there. But I really want to get a booth there. I really do. Everybone has to email this freaking guy at IDG and bug his ass. We got to get in there, man.
The only problem with going three days is I have
post
to take
it
my
to
wife.
The forum.
I posted on the chat. I'm going to post it to the forum tonight.
Now, I have a question for you. If we're going up for 3 days, are you going with your wife and kid?
No. More than likely, I'm going to stick with you guys if we go 3 days.
No, I'm just wondering. Is your wife and are you going to drive up by yourself with your wife?
Okay.
Because I should expect that we're all going to drive.
If we're going to do 3 days.
I'm stuck bringing my wife on that one if I have to go for 3 days.
If we're going to do 3 days.
I've already been informed of that one.
I'm going solo if it's 3 days.
You're going what?
I'm coming with you guys. I'm not going to bring my wife.
Oh, okay. So then that means that it's going to be Pat, Link, and myself in the car driving up, and you solo with your wife.
I'll be following you.
Probably.
Because, honestly, I have no problem driving. I don't know what... My car's
I don't have a problem either.
New.
My car's brand new, too, man.
Mine's pretty
I have
brand
a stick,
new.
So if you guys drive stick, you might
drive
stick, drive.
Too. Did you have a problem getting
damn,
stick?
Oh, damn, Pat, why don't you drive a stick?
That's why I kept quiet on that one.
Did you have a problem getting it?
Getting what?
Stick?
No.
Because when I went and I was every place I went,
Pat never
had
a problem getting a stick.
But everybody wanted to sell me automatic.
This is just writing itself.
It's not easier than this, man. I'm walking right into it.
I should have had a picture of you with that beer just before. It's Dan's got his bottom lift . 2 inches out there, and he's pouring beer into it.
Dude, I just need I need two more beers, and I've had a six pack. that's what I need.
Baby got a six pack.
Are you working tomorrow?
What? Yeah, I'm working tomorrow.
Oh, jeez.
And I'm encoding the show right afterwards.
That's why the tags are all wrong, right, Dan?
Yeah, usually. Let's have another beer. The tags.
Why not, man?
Don't be stingy.
But seriously, the Linux World Expo, man, we really want to go, and we really want to have a booth. I think we need to raise our visibility there.
Definitely.
I mean, we got contacts.
Raise some bandwidth.
Yeah, there. Well, we need to find out now, because we need to have, a banner and some other kind of crap, right?
Yeah, well Treehead offered to create a banner for us. That's the dude that always takes my little icons and changes them to his. It's pretty funny.
He offered to design a banner for us.
No, I think he offered to make one.
With design, maybe. No, that would be cool.
Who's the guy in the forum that's got like
David design and actually spending money to get one made up?
I think that's Captain Obvious.
I keep
Conan O'Brien.
Yeah, the Conan O'Brien.
That's pretty annoying, man. I've gone on forums and like people like in their signatures they have all those pictures and banners and shit, and it gets too out of control. I don't know. Should we ban that shit or what?
No, dude. Yeah.
Should we ban that stuff?
People post. I don't give a damn.
Pictures of Conan O'Brien and their signatures.
Hey, at least they're posting. You know.
Yeah, that's all.
That's true.
That's Wally Ball. There you go. Wally Balljacker, right there. There it is. Right.
Is it Wally?
Yeah.
He's funny, Conan. He looks like Herbie the Elf from Rudolph. You know, the dentist elf.
You know, that's what we need for a logo right there. We need to have the Tux Penguin dressed up like Conan.
That'd be cool.
Conan the Barbarian.
Conan the Barbarian, yeah.
Crom.
That's right.
I'll tell you what. You know who does a lot of posting in forums? Is that...
Soros.
Yeah, whatever.
Soros.
However you pronounce that.
My friend
that.
In Denmark, man. He's a maniac.
Yeah, he does
he's
a lot
on
of
the show. He's on the IRC live.
Yeah, yeah, he is.
It's like fucking... 3:30 in the morning.
I don't know
3 o'clock
in
the morning,
man. But he is
in Denmark.
No shit, yeah.
Denmark, woo! Denmark, yeah.
Props to Soros, man. You rock,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Tell you what, now that's a dedicated listener right there.
Seriously,
damn
man.
Damn straight, man.
What a maniac!
That dude is just too much. He is too much.
He's posted like crazy, man. He's like,
hey, Dan. Speaking of dedicated listeners, why don't you play that promo?
Oh yeah, promo.
New podcast, right?
Yeah, new pro.
New podcast. Hey, yep.
Here's our intermission.
It's 4 a.m. in Denmark, man. That's fucking cool.
It's from our listener, Gorkon.
It is?
Cool, man.
Yeah. Okay.
Gorkon.
There we go.
Hi, Joe McLaughlin here. And if you're wondering what it's like to live in Ohio, what there is to do in Ohio, what bands are from Ohio, and whatever else I decide to put in the show... Please tune in to the Life in Ohio podcast at http://lifeinohio.libsyn.com/RSS.
Life in Ohio, man.
That's right. And for that little ad spot, Gorkon has promised to send us all to the Linux World Expo in Boston.
Cool. Thanks, Gorkon.
Yeah. Score, huh?
You know what gets me, right? Like, those guys at BinRev, wonderful guys, have generously given us till 10:30. And ever since they've given us till 10:30...
We run out of 10.
We've kind of cut off at 10 o'clock. Where's the justice?
They've been cutting us off?
Huh?
They've been cutting us off?
No, not anymore. We have till 10:30 now. But,
we run out of things to talk about?
No. Since they've extended us to 10:30, we haven't had any guests, which have resulted in, you know, usually when we have a guest on, we extend them to at least 10 o'clock.
We usually talk to at least 45 minutes, it seems, so, I guess.
And then, prior to that. Well, anyway, we had brought up the fact of, commercial or closed source companies using open source software or open source label as a means to getting developers in the community to contribute to their product.
Developers.
Right, and then not contributing back to the community.
People will hate you for that one.
I mean, really. I mean, I you know, it's probably a moot point here because we probably all agree that, hey, that really sucks.
It does.
Yeah, what Dan said.
What was the point of bringing the damn thing up? I know what I can talk about.
Go ahead, man.
We got an email.
We get lots of emails, Dan.
Yeah, well, we get a lot of... We got an email about 2 weeks ago, actually. concerning the application called My Money. You remember that email?
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, man. I couldn't find a website for My Money, but I found K My Money. Is that the same program?
No. It's not the same program. Let me see if I can bring it up here. I'm sorry. It's not My Money. It's called Money Dance.
MoneyDance.com. That's why I couldn't find it.
Right. Now,
My Money is an Apple program, isn't it?
It might be. I'm not sure. There's K My Money. There is GNU Cash. There's a few other applications that will do.
Checkbook Tracker.
Checkbook Tracker does a good job. Now, for me, My Money was the only application that would import the my online banking OFX files. And if you look under here, you can look over there. My checking account says I have $0. But you can see right there, I imported it. Alan can see from 12/28/2005. Now, My Money is, I think, $30. But if you get the trial version, it allows you to import or up to 100 transactions. And I just imported, I think, I imported from December 1st, the entire month of December that I had at that point, from December 1st to December 28th on my account from my online banking. And it did a wonderful job of doing that. It seems to be a pretty good application.
I like to ask you, man, I'm seriously considering using one of the Linux-based programs to do my taxes this year. I know, Dan, you've done it for the last couple of years. I don't know what Link and Allen do.
I don't
H&R Block.
I don't use.
I refuse to do my own
Linux
taxes.
Do you really? Tax. I go.
I just sit down at my table and fill the damn thing out.
My wife and I do the online. Quicken, I think, online is what she uses.
I've used TurboTax over the
TurboTax
years.
TurboTax online is what we've been using the past couple of years.
And it's all web-based?
The web-based version, and it's worked no problem. I don't think, aside from the online version, you might be able to do it directly from the IRS online. Link, do you know if that's possible?
No idea.
My net worth is $76.33.
Sweet.
That's
about what mine is.
December 28th. And, you know, that's one of the things I want to bring up. It took me like 5 days to listen to last week's episode, last episode we had, because it was like two hours plus. Like, every episode is like 2 hours plus if you include all the extra content. But, you know, one of the things I want to bring up is why I don't use Checkbook Tracker or any other application on a regular basis is because, but when it comes down to it, I have no money.
It doesn't make a difference anyways.
It's like, paycheck comes in, paycheck goes out. And next week, I'm waiting until I get paid again, because paycheck comes in, paycheck goes out.
Yes.
And now that the daughter's in preschool, paycheck goes in, paycheck goes out. We
Much
go
quicker.
Negative. Yeah, it goes a lot faster. But, yeah, my net worth is $76.33. My net worth today... You want to see what it is, Alan?
Sure, why not?
You want to see what it is? Oh, here we go. You can tell everybody. Wait, that's the wrong bookmark.
Drum roll, please.
Homelink. PC banking. Anytime. Anywhere.
You know, I sent these guys an email and said, hey, thank you for making it Linux friendly, or actually browser friendly, and they've done.
Hey, cool, $2.
I have in my checking account $2.34 in my balance. Available is $0. And my savings account is $35.54.
Nice.
Why am I at $0?
Good question, man. Why are you?
Because you went to Wawa, that's why.
He picked up some Slurpees on the way over.
The wife went to Wawa. and bought something for $2.57.
Well, Dan, compared to you, I'm rich. I got $109.34 in mine.
I get paid tomorrow, though. 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, I'm going to have my paycheck.
No, I
got to
wait a week for that.
I'm going to have my paycheck in there. And I didn't ask my wife if she got her paycheck today. I don't like that.
How is your wife's job, man? How's she doing?
She likes it.
That's good.
Busy as hell.
Good.
She has a laptop that she gets from work that she is allowed to go back and forth every day with, but she doesn't use it at home. She uses a Linux machine. I had mentioned to her last week that people were wondering, you know, how she's doing on the Linux, you know, how things are going.
Did you bug her about not posting on her blog anymore?
Yeah, I did. She hasn't posted on... She actually, and I gave her shit for this, but she actually signed up another blog. I forget where. Somewhere else.
MySpace.
MySpace.com.
Oh, no.
It was a MySpace. It was a Star Trek blog that she was going to coordinate with a couple other people that were going to talk about Star Trek Enterprise. But it never got off. And when I found out about it, I'm like, how could you do this? I would have given you blog space right here. You could have done anything you want. Oh, boo.
Dan feels neglected.
So she hasn't posted to either blog since September. So Alan has actually... She has beaten Alan in the posting to the blog. Lack of posting to the blog.
I was just saying, yeah, she beats me because I put in one at the beginning of the year. That's my monthly post was Happy New Year's.
Yeah, holy moly.
I worked hard on that one. I worked hard. I thought hard about how I wanted to say that.
I try to do at least one post a week is what I shoot for, if I can.
I would like to do one post a day, but some days I just don't have anything going on, so.
That's my problem. I mean, do you really want to hear about me? Got up, went to work today, came home.
But Alan, went to work today. Alan, you do some cool stuff, man. You got the video with the freaking PlayStation and the MIT.
Yeah, but I put some of that stuff in there.
You
got to
talk about that stuff, man. That's good stuff. People are interested in that.
I know. I have trouble talking about things. Which is why I participate in the show here like this. This is my once-a-week blog, except that it's live.
Ah, Pat, speaking of posting and everything, you talked about doing a...
two-parter on...
Just wait till I start doing the video blogs.
You are on the 27th of January, and I'm on the 31st. So
yep, let's do it, man.
Here we go.
Two-parter.
Two-parter of Linux video.
What we should do is we should record it in one shot and just cut it up.
That's it, huh? It'd be like, and now we're going to talk about...
Cut. All right, this is Dan.
Please tune in next time for the next episode of...
That's it.
Twat. Some of those twat episodes...
Are you going to do it as a video blog, though?
No, just audio. But some of those episodes are pretty funny, man. Everybody plays up the, you know, the sexual innuendo. This is another episode of Twat that's been licked.
We can actually do two-camera video now.
We could do three camera. Really, we could do four camera. You got a camera. I got a camera.
Yeah,
we all cameras.
Yeah.
I got a camera. Yeah.
So we can do like four camera. But nobody really wants to see us.
We got perfect
faces. What the hell are they going to see? They're going to see our backs while we're sitting in the room.
We've got perfect faces for radio, man.
You know who cracks me up? Who cracks me up? I gotta find out who cracks me up. Let me go to the forum. I forget. Oh shit! I have too many beers. I can't remember what the name is.
We got a lot of shout-outs to do, by the way.
How many? Start really? Do we get a lot of new?
We got quite a bit actually this week.
Damn, that's pretty good.
Go for it.
Last time I checked, we were up to like 333 people.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Plus the 47 on the wrong one.
Right. Not a wrong one.
Well,
I have to go in there and put like a message
Dan,
that says go to the right one.
You want
to
talk first before I do the shout out?
Just keep talking. Yeah, he can't figure out what he wants.
I'll start it off. The first person I'm going to give a shout out to is Rotun from Platteville, Wisconsin. He writes, good, but Lug Radio is still better. Learn what a compressor is and the quality would increase dramatically. Rotun, we do have a compressor, and we do use it. So.
Whoa! Wait a minute. Lug Radio? They use Windows.
I'm not mentioning it. I'm not bringing it up. Dan is bringing it up.
Yeah, no, we're a bunch of douchebags that don't know how to use the audio quality. Gomer X, man, he's the best. I love his posting as the form because he has his picture there, and he's got like this evil grin. And Gomer X, two thumbs up, man. Two thumbs
Gomer's
up.
Gomer's a man.
He is the
but
man.
To address Rotant's comment, we do have a compressor, and we've had it for a while now. What our issue is we do a long show. It's getting around 2 hours. We don't want to freaking release you know, a 100 meg file like other shows do at a high bit rate if we don't have to. We try to keep it low bit rate because it is just spoken word. So we try to keep the file size down. When we keep the file size down, the quality is not as good as if it was 128 kilobits. What we're doing now is we're releasing a high-quality OGG at 128 kilobits. So if you want a high-quality file that's big and sounds awesome, get the high-quality OGG off the BitTorrent.
Who is this?
Rotund from Wisconsin. But anyway.
Well, and another thing that we keep getting these emails from people that say that shit, but another thing they don't understand is that we don't do a podcast.
No,
this is not some pre-recorded thing. The show is live. I mean, all you guys that are on IRC now know that, but
yeah, and
all
we
the retarded people that sent us these emails don't seem to realize that it's a live show and we're recording off of a stream.
And we only use Linux software. That's it. Not to be a dick, but that's what we use. Nothing else.
How come and I don't see him on the proper map?
Well, you know, after a while it gets a little annoying.
I just ignore him. Most of the people, like I said, most of the people who hear
Where is this on the Frapper map?
Where's the Frapper map?
Here's a low bitrate file and
www.
No, I'm on the Frapper map, but who is this on the Frapper map?
Rotund from Platteville, Wisconsin. All the way at the end, he's about 20 up.
About 20 up. 20
from the end. He's the guy right after GHL3 from Rossville, California. The guy who cut us the intro.
Wait, what's his name? Rotund?
Yeah. Rotund. Platteville, Wisconsin.
Dude, I can't see this
guy. Go to Wisconsin first.
No, you can't do that because what happens is they remove the pins. Not all the pins show up at once. That's not everybody who's on there.
Okay. Yeah, okay? It isn't.
You got to go to the end of the list, okay? Scroll like halfway up from the end.
Click on show 100 more members.
Show 100 more. That's why I'm not seeing him, because I'm like, well, I'm going up 20. I don't see him there. Oh, I'm a dick.
But honestly, listen. I like the other podcasts. They're podcasts. We're a live show.
Right.
We're closer to what the original Linux show used to do. That's more what we do.
Except cheaper,
yeah. We're not $15,000 in
way
the hole.
Way cheaper, yeah.
Okay.
Show rest of members.
Thanks, Alan.
We run our show.
It's
on
good thing I run it, you know, the remote viewer here.
But we're 100% Linux. Everything is Linux. There's not one piece of Windows software running here or any of our machines, and that's the truth.
Shh. I do boot.
Hey, man, I run Windows at work. I can't stand it.
That's why every time I look at the end of the list, I'm always like, oh, these are the same guys that have been here forever. Okay, it's after Omar.
Yeah, Rotund. He's right after GHL3 from Rossville, California. It's Rotund from Platteville, Wisconsin.
Dude.
Hey, well, make sure to send the shout-outs to the people who've been sending
the there he is.
Too. Like, who do we got? We got Joel and Fetza and
I'll send a shout out. Listen, man, I'll send a shout out to Rotund.
Mark W. Repass.
Rotund, thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy the show. Please continue listening. We're working on the audio and we try to make it the best we can.
Yeah,
you know what? You know,
emailed us from Cape Town.
And you know what? While everybody, you know, while Pat has made some good observations there, I also when the audio quality sucks, I take that personally. And I would really, really like it to be a whole lot better than it is.
You should, you bastard.
Yeah, I know. And it's my fault.
You want perfect audio?
I want.
Let's release the WAV file every week, and that'll be that.
Yeah, no. And we are, hopefully, we have made a whole lot of progress in the past 3 or 4 months since we've been really trying to get better audio quality. We do not have multiple track recording here. It all comes down to one track in the end. let me double check, make sure that track is still going.
Listen.
It all comes down to one track in the end, and we're all, you know, it all comes through into that compressor, out through, well, it comes into the mixer, out through the compressor, into my machine, and...
$100 mixer. No offense to Alan. Alan, thank you for buying all the equipment.
Yeah, I mean,
but it's, really, it's not high-end
stuff. It's a shoestring budget.
No, it isn't. I've got some other pieces that are going to be coming, but unfortunately they're not going to be coming for a while because
you fucked us again, boy! Again, Alan has screwed us.
Listen, if someone wants to...
Dude, I got bills that are more important than podcasting equipment.
You got to warm up your house in the wintertime, right?
Exactly.
Right.
Listen, if somebody wants to donate $500 mics to us, we'll take them, you know? If somebody wants to, you know, donate a $300 compressor... Or a $500 mixer?
Yeah, but
we're not going to turn them away.
Don't do that. But that's just more work on my part in the end.
What it comes down to is a $300 mixer, $300 compressor isn't going to sound any better than this.
Right.
You're absolutely right.
Because you know, it's a difference. We're recording out of the stream. We got a really high quality signal going in, but you're getting 24K coming out.
Right. We're recording off the stream.
Realistically, in order for us to get this any better, wouldn't we have to be recording to four separate channels?
Yep.
At least five.
And we need a high-end audio card.
Right. Well,
We need a big
what we need is yeah, you need a big mixing board where you can have each channel has its own out on it. What you do is then is we run the compressor. We need a four-channel compressor to go along with it because right now I'm dumping all eight, well, actually we got close to 10 channels now playing around here. They're all getting dumped into two.
I don't want excuses, pal.
Listen,
it's not excuses.
If you guys want to experiment, I have a high-end audio card that we could use that's used for professional recording.
Yeah, but I mean, when it comes down to it, even if you dumped it out to 10 separate channels, it's all coming back into one channel.
Well, it's all being mixed down to two. But the problem is what you'd end up doing is you have a lot more work up front. And you also usually have somebody live manning the board so that when you're swallowing the mic... Or Pat is swallowing the mic on. They're not overpowering everybody else who's talking.
My problem is my mic is 15 years old.
Yeah, well, that's besides the point.
My problem is my mic is $9 and it comes from Radio Shack.
Well, that's one of the first things that's going to get fixed.
All right. Let me ask you this question, Al, right here. If we had a sound card that would record each separate channel into it,
we can do that. I have a card we can use.
How many channels does it record?
I think it does eight.
Eight channels?
Eight or four together.
Eight or four. But if we had that would probably make a little bit of a
difference. You're going to spend a lot of time during mixdown.
Well, right. That's going to increase the post-production.
So, yeah. We do a two-hour show. You're going to spend 4 hours in mixing.
Right now, that's not what we want to do with a live show.
Yeah. That's not what we want to do with a live show. What we ideally want to do is just get the levels all equal. And then we're all happy.
Well, what we want to do is hijack a radio station.
Well, that would be nice too.
What we need to do is get signed by podshow.com.
No, that wouldn't help.
Oh, yeah, that'll fix everything.
that wouldn't help us, besides with bandwidth. But other than that wouldn't help you.
If they got a couple $1,000 to give us for new equipment, I don't have a problem.
Yeah, that's only if you're one of their select 50 and you're doing it full time. On it. No way none of us are going to sit here every day of the week and do a podcast.
If I'm getting paid $100,000 a year, I would do
it. Yeah, well, you're not going to get paid. Nobody there is getting paid $100,000 a year.
Who knows what they get paid?
Yeah, they ain't getting paid that much. They're getting paid enough to do the work there, but you know, it's just not enough it's just not enough to quit my day job. Sorry.
So what would you quit your day job?
What would I quit my day job?
How much? Seriously,
It'd have to be a whole lot more than what I'm making now, and I'm not gonna give that one up.
Over 100?
Yeah, a lot more than 100.
You make 100
Dude,
over 100 a year?
Dude, I quit my day job for exactly what I'm making now.
No, but that's what it would take to quit for me to quit my day job.
Oh, I thought, man, I was like, wow, you make 100. It doesn't matter what I make because it's public information. I make what 51 or 52,000 a year.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, me and Alan drive to New Jersey an hour each way.
But I work for a school district, so, I mean, the benefits outweigh that.
I think what we have now, we have pretty good sound coming out. There's still some work that can be done, and I got to come in here and tear apart all the wires and start labeling things. No, it isn't an excuse. But, you know, we always set our sound up 10 minutes before the show.
Pretty much.
We don't even do that anymore. It's like, ah, everybody's here.
No, I tweaked Link's sound a little bit. So I tweaked the Skype or the asterisk box this time. So,
well, let me do some proper shout-outs since we're here.
It's 10:27 anyway. So.
We've got Brian.
Yeah, we got 3 minutes anyway.
We've got Brian from Ritzville, Washington. Chad D. from Kenosha, Wisconsin. Tim Ashman from Portland, Oregon. We've got Paulo Marquez from Maia Norte, Portugal. Nathan Glimsdale from South St. Paul, Minnesota. We've got Dan Wozniak from Phoenix, Arizona. We got Johnny W.F. from High Point, North Carolina. We've got Ian from Kingston, Jamaica. We've got Levi McCallum from Brisbane, Queensland, Australia.
You know, I saw Fizo in there from Malvern.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, Malvern, PA. But
that was last week.
Arizona.
We've got Brian.
Or Arkansas, I'm sorry.
We've got Arizona. Brian from St. Paul, Minnesota.
I am.
We've got John Justin
Fizo
from Burleson, Texas.
Malvern.
We've got Dave Morris from Edinburgh, Scotland. We've got SSN from Cushon, Bavaria, Germany. We've got Swipe from Stoke-on-Kent, England. Oh, Stoke-on-Trent, England. I'm sorry. We've got TuxRox89 from St. Louis, Missouri. We've got Double June from King George, Virginia. I think that's it.
Who do we have from Brazil?
We got someone from Brazil?
Yeah, we got some from... We have... come on! Ah, damn it! Clicky, clicky! Scott Kirkwood from Belo
Brazil.
Horizonte, Minas Gerais. Grace.
Dan, you speak Portuguese,
Grace,
don't you?
Brazil. No, I don't speak Portuguese.
Brazil is pretty rocking, man. If you go during Carnival, man, I heard it's pretty insane.
What else do we have?
All the new strippers are from Brazil.
Not around here. All the strippers are from Russia.
From Catasauqua.
Go to Jersey.
from the Eastern Bloc.
Go to Jersey, man. They're all Brazilians.
North Jersey, yeah. Central Jersey.
I was
going to
say,
Central
I
Jersey
thought we had a lot of people from Australia, but now, you know, moving them out.
Central Jersey is all like the Russian mob still.
Russians are good. I don't have a problem with Russians.
Now, I get really depressed, you know, going there when the person you're giving the money to knows nothing more than hello, would you like a dance, thank you.
Bah.
How much?
Yeah.
We got a lot of new people from Australia and New Zealand too.
That's cool.
And
ruins the mystique.
Central Southeastern Asia, Singapore, Jimmy from Singapore. Damn it, I lost Lo Kian Seong from Kuantan. Feihang, Malaysia.
What?
Don't ask
fuck,
me.
Man. They're butchering everything.
Yeah.
Bye bye, we're Ben Red.
Madar from Taipei Hassan, Taiwan.
We've spoken to him a bunch of times, the dude from Taiwan.
Yeah, that's great.
Liv Fallon is listening live from Australia. Let me ask you, Liv Fallon, which stream are you listening to? Are you listening to one of our streams or are you listening to the mirror that we have in Australia?
Chris from Krakow, Malopolski, Poland.
I think we have a female listener. I think SSN from Kirchhorn, Bavaria.
No female listener.
She's a woman. SSN is a woman from Germany.
Germany? Let me go over to Germany.
She's like the fourth from the bottom. Believe it or not, we have female listeners.
Thank you.
Why, I don't know.
Because we're that good.
This is a freaking sausage.
It's got to be the pictures on the website.
This is a sausage party, man.
All right.
The pictures on the website.
Oh, we got to cut off from BinRev. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, I think we got cut off from BinRev a while ago.
Good night, BinRev.
All right.
I'm cutting off here, too, so. Because I've got to get up at like 4:30 soon.
I'll listen to her, bitch.
Damn right. Damn right.
Oh. Did you hear that?
That's special.
That brought up some golden monkey. I still got another hour
funky
and a half of post-production to go.
Does it really take you an hour and a half to do that now?
Well, what I got to do is I got to... Gotta stop this, export it as a WAV file, transfer all the WAV files over to my system over there. I gotta pull them in, then I gotta do the post-production stuff on the entire file. Actually, what I like to do is I like to mix it down to one file, do all the post-production on there, export out the AUG stuff that's gonna go to the AUG, and then I export out the MP3, and then I do the encoding. Because I do the export out of Audacity in a WAV, then I do the encoding using AUG encode or LAME.
More work.
That's what I do.
So you don't want to sit here editing four channels.
Oh, four channels.
Yeah. Dan does all that stuff, and I set up the back end on the database, and then Pat comes in and listens to the show and makes our little show index notes.
Yeah, it's work, man.
So what the hell do you do, Alan?
Jack shit.
I buy equipment.
He buys equipment.
Now, that includes also...
Yeah, he buys the equipment. See, we all have a job.
Uploading the files to the server, and when that's done, and then also updating Hacker Media and BinRev, and then and telling Link that everything's up there, and he updates the torrent. Or posts the torrent.
Hey, good night, everybody.
Good night.
I also bug people to come onto the show.
And Pat does the bugging of the people.
Yes.
Oh, and then, actually, that's right, I gotta...
The bugging of the people. Isn't that a great job, Pat?
Yes. I don't mind talking to people. I met a lot of cool people, man. I've been trading emails from the guy who used to be on the X-Files. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything back from those people I sent an email to.
Which one?
I sent it to the company that produced Darwinia and the SDL guys.
Oh, that's cool. That was a good guess, possibly.
And hopefully we'll hear something back from them. If not, I'll send them another email.
So far, the definite that I got lined up, I got the guy who wrote WordPress. I've got Judd and Dean who are definitely coming on the show. I just got to get a date out of them. I have somebody from HP coming on pretty soon. I have a couple other people lined up too. I'm just got to iron out the dates.
Do you have like a calendar?
Yes, I do, actually. I'll forward you the latest calendar.
Just make sure that you start telling them that we need to have swag.
Yeah.
Maybe send another email to Linus.
Linus Torvalds.
Maybe one day.
And Patrick Volkerding.
Yep.
It's been rough.
You should have your email on a cron job for Pat Volkerding.
You're right. Every 15 minutes, send him an email.
Yep.
I'm sure he'll appreciate that, especially since he has a newborn baby at home.
Well, you know, if he would just take an hour out of his time to talk with us, then we could leave him alone for a while.
Yeah, you know, no big deal. You got to feed a crying baby in the middle of the night. You've got, like, you know, 15 minutes of sleep for the whole night. No big deal.
Hey, I've been there.
Me too. Recently.
What's that?
Recently.
Yeah.
All right. Should we wrap it up?
I think so.
Wrap it up, Dan.
All right, we're going to play out.
Yeah.
What? Oh, AUG 132.
This is show 117. First of the year.
Yep. Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening to 117. Catch us next week for 118.
Here we go.
Food. I have not eaten for days.
And who says you will?
Give me food. So I have strength when the wolves come. Let me die not in hunger, but in combat.
I am Subutai.
Who are you?
Thief and archer.
I am Subutai. Thief and archer.
I'm Arcanian.
I am Arcanian. The great order of Curlet.
So what are you doing here?
What are you doing here?
Dinner for wolf.
Dinner for wolf.
Shut up.
Just shut up.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. It's over.